Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who wants to stir the pot with her ex-boyfriend's ex-wife. But before we begin, we just want to give you ours. Yeah, they just want to stir it together. I didn't want to say shit the first.
I know.
It's the first 4 seconds of our podcast episode.
Yeah. It just muddied it. I was like, is that a euphemism?
Yeah, stir the pot. That's a thing.
Yeah, but like, is it sexual? It's not.
What kind of sex are you having, babe?
No, I just meant like as a euphemism first. All right. Continue with the disclaimer that we're both idiots. But mostly me. Mostly just me.
Yes. As you can see, we want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
Right.
We are making this up as we go along, clearly.
We are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this. According to one of our reviews, I have a terrible laugh. So please take our advice as you see fit. We're only here to offer our humble musings. So hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some annoying laughs on the incredibly rewarding, but mostly confusing experience that is love.
Starting out in 2024 with a lot of chaotic energy. Okay, so I'm bringing today's check-in topic, which is fun. And this is prompted by this experience that I have recently where I was in a bathroom washing my hands and noticing that I was having an intrusive thought that I tend to have whenever I'm in a public restroom. And this is because I don't like the sound of the loud air blowers in bathrooms, right? Like a sensory thing. It just like, I hate it. And I also hate when my hands are wet. And so it makes me not want to wash my hands. And my first impulse is always to like, just rinse my hands quick as if that's like washing them. And then like,
yeah,
use the air blower and like get out. And I was telling this to someone and they were like, well, that's the worst of both worlds. Because first of all, your hands aren't clean. And also you have to like have wet hands or have them under the air dryer. Like it's like, this is not a solution to the problem that you came up with. Like it actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
And so every time I go into a bathroom and I see an air blower, I think to myself in my head without any sort, like it's an impromptu intrusive thought, worst of both worlds, which then makes me fully wash my hands because I'm like, if I'm going to use the air blower anyway, I might as well like do the thing I'm supposed to do. And I was thinking like, what a helpful intrusive thought that I have. Like it is like,
is it an intrusive,
it's like
thought,
not like, oh my god, you're a terrible like
a,
shit person. It's like this like
memory
trigger. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like a, it's like I see it and it triggers this like thought and it's like worst of both worlds, which then like leads me to do the good thing that I needed to do, which is like wash my hands when I use the restroom. And like I was just thinking like, are there other helpful or just like benign intrusive thoughts that I have that I like don't need to fix and aren't like, oh my god, go to hell, why are you so stupid? Like, intrusive thoughts be like helpful, you know what I mean?
I see. It's funny, when I was like trying to think of what mine were, I had a hard time at first because I just kept thinking about like helpful little reminders and rhymes like righty tighty lefty loosey. Yeah. But that's like not holding your hands up to do the left or right, you know, and making an L. Yeah. And that's not like necessarily
devices.
Like an intrusive thought. But I will say a thought maybe that shows up in a similar way in my life is started as a bad thought and now it's like my helper. My mother, when I was younger, apparently I was chaotic. Who would have thought? And she would always be like, slow down, Sierra, you know, slow down. When I was like pouring cereal, I would like to, milk would go everywhere. Or I would move from one activity to the next or whatnot. I just was like clumsy and chaotic, which surprises no one. And that has bled into my adult life in that I make choices fast. I move through rooms fast. I can be forgetful with like my belongings because I move fast, you know, I make fast choices. I don't know. And so I, like any good young daughter does, I internalize that advice, that well-meaning advice from my mother as like her thinking I'm a bad person for years, you know, and I'm like, I'm chaotic and I forget my wallet, you know, and all of these things that make me a bad person apparently. But now as an adult and somebody who is working on like loving themselves, I often find myself like flustered and like looking for something or like getting ready to leave the house or literally just moving through my life. And I'll often just be like, slow down. Slow down, slow down. I don't know if that fits into the qualification of what you were saying, but it's a thought that I used to say as an,
yeah,
a
like
bad
an
thing
intrusive
to myself.
Thought. Yeah, yeah, that was like,
oh,
oh
you're
my God,
just
slow
a
down.
Hot mess. Yeah, yeah. Or yeah. It wasn't helpful for so long. It was more like, you know, you are chaotic and messy and you forget things. And now it's like, you could be chaotic unless you slow down. It's just like got gentler over the years.
I love it. I love it. You took yeah. a bad one and you turned it into something that's helpful for you, which is really good.
Yeah. I think that like, you know, we talk on the podcast about like narratives that we inherit or, you know, honestly, like things that trigger us to feel something or whatever. And I think I've thought for a long time that those things were inherent to who I am. And now I recognize they're just trying to tell me something, you know, like that you can like make a different choice. You can respond differently to these intrusive thoughts, whether they are benign or not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, we get so many letters from folks about having intrusive thoughts. And as somebody who's like had a lot of them myself, I was like, there has to be a reason for some of these. And I think part of it is like, cause we're trying to help ourselves and keep ourselves safe. And like, that's what our brain thinks is like, or what we've at least like learned is the most effective way is to like make ourselves feel bad about something so that we'd like behave differently. And I was trying to think like, how do we use this for good? Right. Yeah, if my brain's totally. Going to have intrusive thoughts anyway, how do I rewire them so that instead of being like, oh my God, you're an idiot. I can't believe you did that. Everyone hates you. To instead be like, you're loved or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, how do I pivot those intrusive thoughts if they're going to happen into something positive? So this is just like amusing. And if any of you have like ideas for how you've done this for yourself, please let us know what your benign / helpful intrusive thoughts are. Cause the bathroom one really works. Let me tell you, it's like, yeah, it's immediately totally. Just like, oh, then just wash your hands. Like
that's so funny because just yesterday I took my toddler to a bar, like a responsible
I love that.
Mother. Thank you. And we went to the bathroom at one point and she was due to change her diaper and she was doing great. We were almost done with the, you know, night. We were about to head home. And then I washed my hands and used the hand dryer. And my friend was like, we could hear her crying from the table. You know what I mean? Because it's so scary, the sound of the dryer.
Uh-huh. Yep. Like,
and then me and the friends
it's
that
horrible.
Were there. Yeah. Me and my friends that were there had a discussion about how like at least half of them had like a visceral reaction to the sound and that they hated it, that they didn't make them feel good. So you're not alone in that.
Yeah. No, I just hate it. I hate the sound of it. I don't like, please just put paper towels in the bathroom.
That's not environmentally friendly. Well, I mean, it's not the worst thing, but
it's not.
Okay. Anyway,
so if you compost those paper towels, like it's all.
Yeah.
It's
that's what I was thinking. Okay. Cool. Well, thanks for the check-in topic. I am going to dive into today's letter. It's from Wannabe Shitster. Makes a little more sense now with the shit in there. Whose pronouns are she and they, who is writing to us from a glass jar of pickled emotion. Dear Sam and Sierra, thank you both, and Spencer, for being who you are and sharing that with us. I refused to listen to your podcast for literally years after I first heard about it because the title terrified me. You know what? That's very common. Spoiler alert, I am now getting a divorce. Yay. But you have become a regular part of my life and companions on my journey to coming out to myself as queer, double yay. I'm not writing in about my divorce or queerness, though, but about a situation where I kind of want to be a shit stirrer, but probably shouldn't, but might anyway. Did a little turn there. Here's the backstory. When I was about 18 or 19, I dated a much older man in what I now understand to have been a manipulative and abusive relationship. He used his age and authority as a religious figure to lure me in, nag me, and keep me secret, cross some serious boundaries, etc., etc. It turned out he was playing with several other women at the same time, and when it all fell apart, I cut off communication and blocked him on social media. Every year or two since then, I unblocked him and snooped around just to find out what city he's living in, because I was having borderline panic attacks whenever I saw someone who looked like him out in public. This is how I found out he got married and moved back to our mutual home state, which brought up a fresh round of anxiety I had to work through. Several years later, after one of those periodic check-ins, I came to suspect that his marriage had ended, and shortly after that, I ran into his wife at a fucking house party. Yes, his now ex-wife lives in my not very big town, and we have overlapping social and professional circles. This was the first of several times we have crossed paths in recent months. I don't think she has any idea of who I am, and I feel super weird that I have this random piece of information about her personal life. So, my friends, here's my question. Do I say something to her about our mutual ex? Our relationship with this man would have been separated by many years, but there's a petty part of me that wants the tea. And who knows, I might be uniquely equipped to empathize with her. She seems like a cool person and kind of cute. Ugh, baby queer problems. I've done a lot of healing around the trauma that that relationship caused. I wrote a song about it, and that process was very healing. And when I recently discovered after the fact that this man and I had run in the same charity race, I was like, what the fuck, but did not have a panic reaction, which feels like a serious progress for me. There is a real risk I might drop this bomb on her, his ex-wife, the next time I see her in a social setting, if I have one too many glasses of wine, but I really want to know, what do y'all think? Should I stir the shit or flush it away in my petty little heart?
All right, shit stirrer. Thank you for writing to us and asking us this question. I deeply relate to your desire to want to know the tea. I think that it's really real that you have this person in your life, and it feels weird to be like sitting on this information that you know because of the internet sleuthing that you have done. And I also think that like maybe a little bit what's coming up here is like, you also want somebody to corroborate some of your experiences with this man. And I know that that can also be a really healing experience for folks to say like, hey, this happened to me. Did it happen to you? Like sort of this idea that like our experiences of this person were real, and having someone else see them and verify them makes it feel like we're not just making it up, or that we're not, you know, overreacting to what happened to us. So all that to say, all of this makes 100% sense. I totally understand why you want to share this with this person. And Sierra and I are going to get into whether or not we think that you should after this short break.
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup. All right, welcome back, my darlings, and thank you to our letter writer for writing in and trusting us with this letter. Yeah, I kind of like mixed feelings. But first, a little story time from my life. So like a year or so after I dated like my least, your least favorite one of my exes.
There's so many to choose from. I don't know which one is my least favorite.
The woman.
Oh, right? Yeah. Okay.
That would be your least favorite, or am I wrong?
The abusive
piece of trash
woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. We're on the same page. So like a year.
I certainly didn't like her because she was abusive. That's for sure.
Okay. So about a year after I dated somebody, like a mutual friend pulled me aside. We were like at a social situation and they were like, I need to tell you something that I've sort of like withheld from you. You know, after you and so-and-so were done dating, like we kind of had a thing. And, you know, basically my friend came out and told me how this person had exhibited similar behaviors, if not worse behaviors, to my friend, as they did to me, and that it was like a really unhealthy relationship, and that she's still like extricating herself from it. And she was basically like, I just wanted you to know, and I thought maybe we could like connect on it. And we definitely did. Like, I'm so grateful that she told me, because it actually empowered me to finally be like, you know what, fuck you. Because like before then I was like, you know, whatever. Like before then I wasn't really claiming how shitty this person was to me. I was sort of like just sort of touching it and then letting it go, and then touching it and letting it go, because that's I wasn't ready to be like fully fuck you. And then to find out that this ex of mine had been, you know, just as abusive, if not worse, to this other person, it finally gave me this feeling of like, fuck you. You know what I mean? So this was like a very positive situation for me. And also, it was super triggering and it was super disorienting. I was really caught off guard by it, and it brought up a ton of shit that I hadn't fully processed yet with this person. And it brought up a ton of mixed emotions too, because I felt insecure because they had kept it from me. Even though they were like both in my life in weird ways throughout that year, it just was like, it was a lot. I remember going to bed that night and being like really triggered, to use that word intentionally. My emotions were everywhere and my memories were popping up, and I did not. The way I speak about it now is how I came to feel about it. The initial reaction was a lot of things. because it's hard, you know, it's hard for someone. It was simultaneously empowering and like clarifying, like I said, to hear her behavior described in another relationship. You know, it was like, oh, cool. So you were an abusive asshole. Like, you were controlling and gaslighting. It was like empowering to hear it exist outside of my brain and body. And at the same time, it was like, oh, fuck, that really happened. It was that shitty. And you've been kind of walking around pretending that it wasn't, or whatever. Anyway, that is a personal story just about something comparable. And I think it offers like potential good talking points about this potential shit stirrer, because I'll just say these things that I'm taking from my example. Like, number one, you could approach this person. That would be fine. And also, like, maybe it's not you who should be processing this relationship with her, because from what I can tell, you're not like friends. You're not like a safe, yeah. I don't mean that as a dig, but like, this sounds like somebody, you know, on the outsides of your social circle. It's not like you guys are tight or what I'm assuming. I don't know. It's not like you have each other's phone numbers or whatever, but you know, this right. is not everybody feels safe to like process their shit with relative strangers. I'm one of them. And, even though I have a podcast that talks to thousands of strangers every week about my personal shit,
Yeah.
So there's that, like, you know, consider that you might not be a safe space for her. Consider this might be super triggering to her because she's probably going through a separation currently, you know, because like you are going through a divorce. You know how long that stuff takes. Like this person is probably still removing this person from, you know, your shared ex from their life. And it might not be the mm-hmm. time or place. You know what I mean? However, I really do believe in the power of representation and the power of community, obviously, particularly in interpersonal, social, romantic scenarios. Like it was really important for me to hear my friend's experience with our mutual ex. It ended up being a pivotal turning point in my healing, but it came from a friend, and it was still hard to swallow. So that's just what I would like put out there.
Yeah, no, I think that that's really real. And it would have also been a really different experience if you hadn't had that experience
yeah.
with the ex, right? Like it worked out because you both had sort of had that shared experience and it allowed you to process together. But like, I'm also thinking about like, what if you go up to this woman and is like, oh my God, we dated the same person. Wasn't he such an asshole? And she was like, and she's like, actually, no, he was a wonderful husband. He broke my heart. Right. Like they're.
Yeah. He left me.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's terrible. And I wish that we were still together. Right. Like you're kind of banking on the idea that this is going to be a shared experience for both of you. When what we know to be true is that people change and people, you know, he may have been terrible and horrible with you. And then 10 years later is married to this person and was like a great partner who, you know, for whatever reason they broke up, that isn't about how he was an asshole. So like, just want to name that's a possibility, that like, you're kind of assuming that there's a shared experience here when we don't know that to be true. I also think that like, it's important to think about what and how you want to share about this person. You know, like I'm trying to think about, and like, to be clear, like I'm a Midwesterner. So like the idea of somebody just like, I don't know, coming up to me and like trying to tell me their life experience about something and trying to get my own life experience out of me at like a work function would be mortifying.
To me, I'd be like, oh my God, tell me more. But I also would probably be triggered. Like,
can we get back?
Yeah.
Can we get back to the actual
can I
weather?
Get back to that my would be white helpful claw
if we could just like talk about
drinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want pie?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get some pie for both of us. So like I want to name that, but I also think that like this isn't necessarily something that needs to be kept a secret. Like it's not like you need to like sit on
yeah,
this information
exactly.
But I think the way that you present your shared experience is important, right? Like, I think there's a difference between going up to somebody and being like, oh my God, I know that you were married to my ex-boyfriend who was terrible and an asshole. And oh my God, wasn't he so terrible, right? But, or being like, oh, hey, I think that I know your ex-husband, right?
I think that's a great
like,
point.
I heard his name and I knew somebody, you know, who I dated 10 years ago who has that same name. Is it the same person? Right. Like,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Like if somebody did that to me, I'd be like, oh yeah, we totally know the same person.
If this was me, I would stay in my lane, not to use that terrible phrase from the internet. Unless I befriended this person and I don't want to befriend them to tell them. I would want to befriend them because they're cute and smart and funny and they seem interesting and I want a friend, you know? And maybe if like down the line of that friendship, not like you don't have to wait like 6 dates or whatever, just like when it feels a little bit more intuitive and comfortable and not shit story and more just like something that you should probably acknowledge, you can say, hey, this is like a little weird, but I just wanted to tell you that, like, I think I actually dated your ex-husband. Like, it was a long time ago. It was like 10 years ago. I was young. It, you know, and then they're going to be like, what? Oh, my God. And you can kind of, you can sort of like take the temperature of what else you should share, you know, but you could, to be honest, I think that it would probably be more appropriate just to be like, yeah, it was like, it was a really unhealthy relationship. There was like a big age difference. It was just like crazy. But that's in the past, you know, like sort of, you can acknowledge it. What I was going to say is I just want to point out what I think is at the core of this letter. It's not your desire to stir the pot or be petty. It's your desire to be seen and affirmed that this was a shitty relationship. Do you know what I mean? And that this person did terrible things without any visible repercussion, because that's the way the world works right now, you know?
For sure. Yep.
And so it's like, it's not that you want to stir the pot and like ruin his ex-wife's day or his day or whatever. There's a voice under all of that that just says like, no, this happened for real. Do you know? Are you like me? You know, did we share this? Like, there's somebody that wants to be seen and affirmed under all of this. And I would just, you know, restate what I said already. She might not be the person to affirm you or be affirmed by you. You know, you kind of have to like feel it out a little bit more. And I encourage you, even though time has passed and even though you've moved on, like I encourage you to find different avenues to be affirmed in this experience, even if it's just like listening to our show and knowing like Sam and Sierra believe you and that was so unfair and real. We know it was real. We know that it really happened and we're really sorry. But trying to find other avenues to affirm that and, you know, following a more organic connection to this potentially new, cool, cute friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also just want to name that, like, if you are interested in being friends with this person, right, not just because you like want the tea about her ex-husband, but because like you said, she seems like cute and funny and interesting. This isn't information that you need to like sit on, you know, a secret you need to keep. And I think like Sierra said, and like I said, like being upfront about the fact that you know that you have this shared person in your life at the beginning is like fine, right? And I think it's actually probably helpful so that you're not just like sitting on this information that you're then like revealing 6 months down the line. And she's like, wait a minute, if you knew this the whole time, why didn't you tell me? Right. But it doesn't, I want to make sure that you're not seeking relationship with this person because you think that they're the only person who can affirm you / you're the only person that can affirm them, right? Like, I want you to be seeking relationship with this person because they seem cool and funny and great and cute and all of those things that are going to be the basis of like a actual fruitful relationship and friendship, because like having a shared enemy and stirring shared shit is like not actually the basis of a good relationship, turns out, despite what many of us who work in this world feel like, right? Like so many workplace relationships are all about how we hate other people. Yeah. But like, I want to like just name that and say like, you can be honest and you can be truthful with this person. And, you know, being in a relationship with somebody needs to have more to it than just we both have the same terrible ex.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I hope this helps. Last thought, like it's okay to want the tea. Like, oh my God, all I want to know is like,
oh, absolutely,
how
I want the tea.
Shitty
yeah.
My ex has been in the future or like since we've been together. And then you have to be like, okay, but I don't want to make my friendship on accessing the tea. It's okay to want it. It's okay to get it even.
Exactly.
It's even okay to enjoy getting it. I just wouldn't like strategize your social life around it. Okay.
Yes.
We hope this helps and we love you.
We do. Thank you so much for writing. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, which is when we hop on Zoom with all of our patrons who show up and answer questions, shoot the shit, talk about stupid things. You can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to those office hours. And in the month of January, we're hoping to get another 100 patrons. So if you have been thinking about it and are unsure, or if you are putting it off till later, now's the time. Sign up at patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship memes, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duvide Media, original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast. And remember, it is equally important to be affirmed by others as it is to affirm yourself. We have to try to grant ourselves permission for both. You know, they are muscles. Reaching out to other people, letting other people echo and mirror our experiences back to us, and also being able to say to ourselves, I know that happened. I know that was real. I know I experienced this, and I'm safe now. We can do both. And if all else fails,
just break up.